Today on Focal Point with Pastor Mike Fabares.
Do you really understand? It's not about trying, it's about trusting. I know you don't like that. I know it's uncomfortable. Deathbed conversions, I hate those. They shouldn't be in heaven. Why? Didn't you get there the same way? Because it's not about trying, it's about trusting.
Children are great at telling you when something is unfair. And even though as adults we know life isn't fair, we still somehow expect things to turn out for us because we've worked hard and are basically good people. Well, today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares is continuing a series called How to Get Eternal Life, where he's taking a deep look at what it really takes to get into the kingdom of heaven. Our message is called Getting Honest About Myself. Well, let's dive in.
Verse 20, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. This is Romans 3:20. Rather, it is through the law we become conscious of sin. You get to realize that you're a sinner. You don't measure up. That's the whole point of the measuring stick. Verse 21, but, the most important contrastive conjunction in the first part of the book. You don't measure up. That's what the first three chapters have been all about. You don't measure up. You don't measure up. But here's the deal. A measuring up, a righteousness, a perfection from God is here. It's now. It's coming from God. Apart from the rules, it's been made known. God is revealing. He's giving a righteousness that didn't come from you keeping the rules. Which, by the way, the law, capital L, a part of the Old Testament, and the prophets, capital P, part of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, they testified. They wrote about it. Like Isaiah 53 wrote about some kind of substitute that would be the innocent one taking place of guilty people. They knew it was coming. It was a little bit veiled, but they had it coming in their minds. Verse 22. This righteousness I'm talking about, it's from God and it comes through what? Faith, reliance. You got to rely in Christ Jesus to all who believe. Let's write it down, number three on your outline. The word faith, believe, pistuo, pistis, is to rely. Let's put it down that way. You have to rely on Christ who kept the rules for you. Rely on Christ who kept the rules for you. He did everything right that you didn't do. Let's think about your teenage years. How'd you live those? How did those go? You know, 14, 15, 16, 17. Let's talk about it. You got some video? We'll show it. How were those years for you? Now, how were those years for Christ? We got your life on this screen. We'll put Christ's teenage years on that screen. Oh, how did you treat your parents during those years? How did you treat people of the opposite sex then? How did you deal with your teachers, authority? Oh, let's put Christ over here on this screen. Is there a difference between those two tapes? Ooh, yeah, big difference. I need my teenage years to be lived like his teenage years were. That righteousness from God, it comes to me through faith in Christ Jesus to all who would trust him. There's no difference. And the no difference phrase there in the bottom of verse 22 is because he's been comparing Jews and Gentiles who said, I'm taller than the Gentiles. I got to be 6 feet at least. Those Gentiles are squatty and short, not very moral at all. Well, you don't measure up. Remember that. You fall short of the glory of God. Verse 23, there's no difference. We all fall short of the glory of God. And on the positive side, here's the grace of God. Here's the good news. We are justified freely, not by our earning it, not by our deeds, by his grace. We didn't earn it through the redemption, the work that came by Christ Jesus. He did the work for us. And not only did he live the life we couldn't live. What about that list? The Avis guys there with his little electronic clipboard. Who's going to pay for all that? Well, that's the next verse, verse 25. God presented him, Christ, as a sacrifice of atonement. That word there, if you've got an old translation or maybe in the margin, propitiation. We don't say it because half of us can't pronounce it, right? Propitiation, what's that? Propitiation, it is an atoning sacrifice. It is the payment that was required from our rule breaking. God presented him as that. And through faith in his blood, that's our credit. Our bad account has gone to his cross. He did this to demonstrate his, oh, we're back to this again. His what? Justice. He's a just God. Because in forbearance in the past, you might have thought he was a softy because he had left sins that were committed beforehand unpunished. You got away with a lot of stuff. You saw a lot of people get away with a lot of stuff. Is God like us, altogether like us, because he didn't zap us immediately? No. It's that now he's going to demonstrate his justice. Verse 26, he did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time. The cross, I know it's an act of love, but it is a picture of justice. That's why the cross exists. It is a picture of his justice at the present time, so as to be just. God is just. He can't wink at sin. The Avis guy can't say, well, you tried. I like you. Get out of here. No one will have to pay for this. Someone's got to pay for it because God is just. He's the owner of Avis, right? And he's the one who justifies. He's the one who'll pay it. He'll fix it. He'll pay it off. And who's he going to pay off? Those, who's he going to pay for? He's going to pay for those who have, what's the key word here in this book? In the Bible, faith. You trust in Christ Jesus. Where then is the boasting? Can you see that it's gone? If what these people on our video, which is just everybody in the world, thinks about getting eternal life is true, if I say, how do you get eternal life? Well, I try to be good. Working hard at it, man. Sometimes I get angry, but I withhold my anger and I don't say it. And, you know, I try to help people and I give to charity and I do all that. And then you get to heaven and God says, oh, great. You did so many great things. You're so good. I liked it. Now, you weren't perfect, but, you know, I don't really count all that against you. You just said, I'm so glad you were good. Come on in. Come on in. Go stand by me. Come on. We got the next person coming up. Oh, you weren't very good. No, not you. What do you think? No. Didn't give any to charity. See his tax returns? Terrible. Mean all the time. Yelled at his wife. Kicked the dog. But you didn't do that. Well, not very often. But he did. Well, what do you think? Well, okay. No, you're out. Go away. Into outer darkness. What is she going to say now? Well, see, I'm here because, I was better. I didn't always kick the dog when I got mad. I bit my lip and I didn't say those bad things. She will have cause for boasting. She'll say, I lived a life that was good enough. I earned it. Where is boasting in this scenario? Well, it's excluded. You don't get it. There is no boasting. On what principle? On observing the rules? No. Because it's not about observing the rules. No. But on that of faith. If you trust someone else to do it for you, you can't boast about it. For we maintain, as if we didn't get it, verse 28, that a man is made right, is justified by faith, trusting, apart from observing the law. Rely on Christ who kept the rules for you. Do you really understand that? I wonder if we do. We say we do. Let me test it for a second. Think of the most vile person you can think of. Maybe someone who's still alive on death row right now, in prison. Think of somebody you read about in the newspaper or someone you saw on news or some story on Dateline or something, and you said, that's the scum of the earth right there. I want to spit on my TV screen. That's the worst. Picture that person. And just before they go sleepy sleep off into sleepy death, just at that moment before they go off into death to meet their judge and be punished forever, excluded from the presence of God, they stumble across in their mind or maybe some Bible that someone put in their cell, and they put their trust in Christ at that last moment. Okay? Got it? And because of this truth, they get ushered into the kingdom of God. And you meet them face to face. If you can't recognize that you get to heaven the exact same way he got to heaven, you don't understand grace. Does that test your theory of grace a little bit? Do you really understand? It's not about trying, it's about trusting. I know you don't like that. I know it's uncomfortable. Deathbed conversions, I hate those. They shouldn't be in heaven. Why? Didn't you get there the same way? Do you think that's maybe why Jesus, in the providence of God's plan, made sure there was a deathbed conversion right there in the Gospels? Right? And you know there was. It's the thief on the cross, we call him. He squeaks in as the door is shutting on his life. He's dying. Talk about a deathbed conversion. He's on an execution rack. And he gets to heaven? Why? Same way you do. Same exact way you do. It's called faith. Because it's not about trying, it's about trusting. I don't like that. I want to earn it. Go ahead, try. Go back to point one and live in point one for the rest of your life. Right? Keep all the rules, get eternal life. Good luck. See ya. It ain't going to happen. You got no choice. The only hope we have is to rely on Christ who kept the rules for us. And by the way, if I didn't fear your writer's cramp, I would have made this point as long as it needed to be. Rely on Christ who kept the rules for you. and paid the penalty for your rule breaking. See, if I were a real pastor, that's how I would have worded that point. Rely on Christ who kept the rules for you and paid the price for your rule breaking. He lived for you. He died for you. He lived a life you couldn't live. He died a death you deserve to die. Which, by the way, back to Good Friday in the world's longest sermon. Are you ready? Back to Good Friday. Remember Good Friday? We talked about erroneous theories of the atonement. You remember that? All of those theories, if you think about it, if they were true, would be, they would look more like this. The Father reaching down to the Son as he is a martyr or an example of love, giving his life for a cause. You would see the Father embracing the Son, helping him through this, right? Isn't that how the martyrs die? John Huss looking up to heaven, Stephen being stoned in the book of Acts. I mean, these people saying, Perpetua relying on the strength of her Father in her death. Wouldn't that be what we would see on the cross? Here's one verse that blows all the erroneous theories of the atonement right out the window. Jesus in Aramaic cries out the first line of Psalm 22. My God, my God. Why have you forsaken me? That's not how martyrs die. Martyrs die with their hand being clung by the Father. That's not how Jesus died. Jesus died as the enemy of the Father. He was crushed by the Father because God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Think back to one of those heinous sins you thought of when I threw the screen analogy up. Whatever you did that you thought of, Jesus was treated as though he did those things. That's what the substitutionary atonement of the cross, the atoning sacrifice, the propitiation of Christ is all about. Christ being treated as the sinner so that you don't have to pay for it because Christ paid for it on the cross. Rely on Christ who kept the rules for you and paid the penalty for your rule breaking. Point for point, sin for sin. Punishment for punishment. God looked up all the penal code requirements and punishments for all the things that you did and laid them on the cross. And Jesus became the enemy of the Father as he took the hit of hell for us on the cross. That's the gospel. You got to rely on Christ who kept the rules for us. So praise God, we don't have to keep the rules. Let's just take the rules then and let's just get rid of them, man. I'm sick of those rules anyway. Pretty hard to keep. All these people want to be good. I'm glad I don't have to be good. Let's not even be good. Let's stop being good, right? No. Obviously, the Bible says rule-keeping has a place, but you just got to make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. And if this seems like a footnote, it's not. I'm not done yet. This is not a footnote. This is not some appendix in the book. This is critically important. If you do not understand this, you will not understand the gospel. You must understand that when you keep the rules, you must do it for the right reasons. If you do it for the wrong reasons, your salvation is in peril. Let me put it this way. If you keep the rules for the wrong reasons, you go to hell. Wow. Really? Yeah, absolutely. You must keep the rules for the right reasons. Okay? You have to. Because if you don't and you misplace your motive for doing good things, you've lost your salvation. I'll prove it to you. First of all, let's think to the rule list. If you want to get rid of the rules, I hope you'd realize what a terrible kind of reality we'd have. Because Jesus gave rules like this. Don't commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal. Let's just deal with those three. I'm all in favor of those. How about you? And I think we should do them. Hey, don't kill me today, okay? Don't sleep with my wife and don't steal my car. I think we Christians should probably do those things. But if you do them for the wrong reasons, you put your eternal life in jeopardy. You must do them for the right reasons. What are the right reasons? Start with the right reasons and then look at the problem of what happens if we do it for the wrong reason. Here's the right reasons, okay? To put it in the words of Matthew 14, 15. Matthew chapter 14, verse 15. You don't need to turn there. It's one small verse. Here it is. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's that simple. Why should I keep the commandments of God? So I can go to heaven? No. It has nothing to do with it. You don't get to heaven by trying. You get to heaven by trusting. So why would I ever try to do the right thing? Because if you love God, you'll try to do the right thing. If you love somebody, you'll do what they say. That's so simple in the scripture. One passage, I'll just take you to one, maybe two. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we've come to know him if we obey his commands. That's how we even know we're in with God. Wait a minute. We don't do good things to earn our salvation? No, absolutely not. But if you're in with God, you're going to keep his commandments. That's how we know we're in with God. But he who does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, okay, God's love. Now, you Greek students know when you see a genitive like that, it's hard to know, well, what are we talking about? That's the God's love for us, our love for God. What are we talking about? Well, he explains it later in the book. But let me just tell you the answer ahead of time. Our love for God. That we love God. The love of God is made complete in our lives. We show that we love God. This is how we know we're in him. Verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as he did. Live like he did. This is not a pedestrian style. This is a lifestyle of morality. You're going to try to live like Christ lived. And then he starts talking, amazingly enough, about the very commands that Jesus threw out for the rich young ruler. Specifically, Leviticus 19:18, which said, love your neighbor as yourself. And he starts talking about it. It's not a new command. It's an old one. It's one you've had from the beginning. It's old commands, the message you've heard. Yet, I'm writing a new command. It's new in a sense. It's the truth you've seen in Christ, and it's true in you. And it's all, you know, flowery, poetic language, but it's all about loving our brother. That's the theme here in chapter 2, and it gets into chapter 3 and chapter 4. But it's all about that. Whoever, verse 10, loves his brother lives in the light. Now, if I'm willing to do what God said, love my neighbor as myself, I don't steal, I don't do all these things, I am expressing love for God. This is where I'm going to take it. Very end of the book. Chapter 5, almost the very end. 1 John chapter 5, he says this, verse 3, this is love for God. Couldn't be any clearer than this. To obey his commands. Now, it's not about earning salvation. It's about loving God. Why should you today try to do the right things that God commanded? Because you love him. That should be the reason. That is the motive. And by the way, when you keep people's commands because you love them, those commands then are not a drudgery. His commands are not, what's the word there? Burdensome. 1 John 5:3. This is love for God. To obey his commands, which was the theme of chapter 2. And why is that? Let's just invert it real quick. We don't have time for all this, I realize, but just jot down these two passages, if you would. Genesis 6:6, and Ephesians 4:30. Do those ring a bell? Genesis 6:6 and Ephesians 4:30. Here's why, if we love someone, we keep their commandments. Because it says in Genesis 6:6, when God saw the evil in men's hearts, it says he was grieved. Now, he said he was sorry he made man, but then it said he was grieved in his heart. Now, that's Hebrew. That's Old Testament. New Testament, same concept directed toward Christians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, talking about moral law. He says, do not grieve. There's the Greek word. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God who is in you. The point is, I don't want to do the wrong thing because I don't want to grieve God. I don't want to make him feel bad. I don't want him to hurt over my disobedience. I don't want to say, hey, the car is paid for. Let's go smash it up some more. That's the argument, by the way, of Romans 6. If he's redeemed us from the penalty, then racking up more penalty doesn't make any sense. All right. You've heard a lot of this. Let me summarize. And I know some of you have seen these equations that I put up on the board many times, but look at them one more time. And if you understand grace, as I said to a group this morning, it's more like taking a shower. I mean, you don't get tired of that because it's refreshing and it's good. Here's the gospel. It should be refreshing to us. The picture of what the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, hey, if I keep the rules, do I get eternal life? Jesus said, yes, keep the rules and get eternal life. The problem is you can't keep the rules. And you look a little closer keeping the rules. Could you see you don't even keep the first or the 10th commandments of the Decalogue? So it's a futile endeavor. You try and keep the rules and get eternal life, it's not going to happen. You won't do it. You will fail because all of us fall short of the glory of God. So people say, well, great, here's what I'll do. I'll do my best at it, and I know most is really not good enough. And I know, you know, only the big commandments, and if I break the small, I know that's not good enough. And I know trying really doesn't count. It's not good enough. So what I'll add to my trust is some reliance on Christ. Okay? Then I'll get eternal life. By the way, and I know some of you have been sitting back this whole series because you're a Sunday school grad and you're like, I know all this stuff. Grace, I've heard the message. I know all about it. Let me warn you right here because here is the place where a lot of people who are churchgoers that think they know the gospel are going to miss the boat forever. Okay, here's where they will miss it. They will miss it because they think, I'm trusting in Christ, I'm going to heaven. What they don't realize is that they're also trusting in their good deeds. And that's why I tested it with the whole thing about the deathbed confession. I know you don't like those. But if you think I'm going to heaven because I'm trusting in Christ and I'm living a pretty decent life, that is catastrophic. If you keep the rules to kind of have Christ, you know, I'm 6 foot tall and I do need another, you know, whatever that is. I got to have another, you know, 9 feet. But Christ can take care of the extra. If that's your view of the gospel, you don't understand grace. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you don't have any benefit from Christ. What's the whole point? Measuring up. I want value. I want righteousness. How do I get it? Trusting in Christ. Can I trust in Christ plus my good works? Bible says no. One last passage. I, before God, tell you this is the last passage. Okay? The angels are my witness. It will be the last passage I turn you to this morning. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse number 2. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. What? Guys, does that make you pause a little bit? Wait a minute. You can smile at that. Think about it. It means all the girls get to go to heaven, I guess. I don't understand this. You do understand that circumcision was the sign that I'm a rule keeper. It was the external sign of Judaism to say, I keep God's law. That's what circumcision was all about. And it was the first thing you did to show that you keep God's law. You kept the law of circumcision. Okay? Here Paul says, hey, if you're going to do that, Christ doesn't count for you. If you're going to stand up and scooch up as high as you can on the measuring board to try and do all the right things, Christ isn't going to jump on top and add to your righteousness. It doesn't work that way. Matter of fact, he makes it super clear in the next verse. Again, I declare to you, every man who lets himself be circumcised, right? You need to know this, is obligated to obey the whole law. You got to do it all now. Now we're back to equation one, which we said was impossible. Equation two, you just need to see this, is equally as damnable as the first equation. If you say to someone, how do you get eternal life? Well, I'm trying to be good. We go, that's not right. But here's what most Christians, quote unquote, Christians, churchgoers do. I'm trusting in Christ and I'm trying to live a good life. And both of those together, kind of mix them up here. That, ooh, look, God, you'll accept me now. You got to obey the whole law or you got to trust in Christ wholly, completely. Wholeheartedly trust in Christ or wholeheartedly keep the law. It's your resume on Judgment Day or Christ's. Make your choice.
Make your choice. A challenge to stop trying and start trusting. You're listening to Pastor Mike Fabares on Focal Point in a series called How to Get Eternal Life. Well, today's message is an important reminder to recognize that there's nothing we can do to earn salvation and to trust God's promise to rescue us from sin. And if you'd like to view the study notes or listen again online, just go to focalpointradio.org. You can also listen through the free Focal Point app or on many of your favorite podcasting apps. Focal Point is funded by listeners. And if you're among those who faithfully support this program, I'd like to extend our heartfelt thanks because your continued giving enables us to bless your fellow listeners. From the daily radio programs to the free online resources, none of this would be possible unless individuals like you continue supporting this ministry. We can't say thank you often enough. And to show our gratitude for your gift today, we'd like to send you a helpful book called Getting the Gospel Right, The Tie That Binds Evangelicals Together. Unity in the gospel is essential to the witness of the church. And yet this unity is constantly tested. Getting the Gospel Right helps us know the gospel better so we can properly understand the Great Commission and be faithful to our calling. We'll send you this fascinating expositional study written by the late R.C. Sproul when you donate today. To make a donation, call us at 888-320-5885. You can also give online at focalpointradio.org. If you prefer sending your gift by mail, write to Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. You might also consider joining the team of monthly supporters called Focal Point Partners. As a partner, your regular support plays a crucial role in helping us plan for the future, and we're so grateful. So sign up today when you call 888-320-5885 or when you go online to focalpointradio.org. I'm Dave Drewy, inviting you to join us again Wednesday as we continue our series called How to Get Eternal Life, right here on Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. You know, it's an honor to be with you every day, helping you explore the depths of Scripture. But I want to be clear, no amount of Bible knowledge is ever going to save you. Be sure where you stand with God. Get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Visit us today at focalpointradio.org.
We look forward to hearing from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.